company, the AngloGold Ashanti Annual Report podcast series. Let's now chat to Italia Boninelli, who is the EVP Human Resources at AngloGold Ashanti, your company. Italia, of course, in South Africa and around the world in certain sectors of industry, particularly mining, there is a shortage of skills. How big a problem is this for AngloGold Ashanti?
It is a key problem for AngloGold Ashanti. Despite recessionary times, and one would expect there to be a lot of staff available on the market, the really key skills are not in good supply. We've done some research that's shown that over the last 2.5 decades, approximately 20 mining faculties globally have closed down. If we add to that the decline in maths and science capacity coming out of high school, which is a South African phenomenon but is increasingly a phenomenon that we are seeing in other countries in which we operate, plus the lack of attractiveness of the industry, we are seeing an increasing trend of youngsters not wanting to come into the sector, and even those that have studied in mining engineering-related skills being lost to other industries such as petrochemical, consulting and financial services.
What an extraordinary thing, given the boom there is in commodity prices and mining in general worldwide.
Well, it's much easier to go and work for a bank as a financial analyst and earn a big package than have to go underground and actually dig the gold out.
Very true. Once you've identified the skills that you need and you've acquired that talent, you must, of course, hang on to it in the face of stiff competition from other companies, whether it be other gold miners or just other miners in general. Is that all to do with paying them more money, or is there more to it than that?
Oh, no, there's a lot more to it than that. I think what we're finding is that, you know, staff these days are a lot more demanding. They're looking for international job opportunities, so we have to be flexible in the way that we offer those opportunities. And we also need to be flexible on job location, with many of them choosing to work out of where they live. So you might find somebody telecommuting into different mines and choosing to continue to live in the town where their families are living, as opposed to moving to where you would like them to move. We've got very flexible fly-in, fly-out arrangements for many of our mines for that very reason. We've also had to look at how to supplement coaching and mentoring on the job to, in fact, create the kind of culture in the organization where young people want to stay and see the development opportunities that interest them. So we've done a lot of work on something called the System for People, where we are training managers on the right managerial leadership practices and re-looking, the culture that we have, and with a huge focus on the values and value-based behaviours.
Apart from Project One, which you've sort of alluded to now, which is the System for People aspect of things, what are you doing differently today than you might have been 10 years ago? I mean, let's face it, you've got 60,000 people on your books and the world has changed over the last decade. What have been the fundamental changes, do you think?
Well, I think 10 years ago, you know, things were a lot more static. You could just focus on operational HR, the basic recruitment, waiting for the vacancy to occur and then filling it. Now we're having to look long term. We're having to look at where our growth opportunities are, start planning well ahead. If I can just say, if you want a mining engineer in 2 years' time, or a mine planning engineer, you're probably 7 years too late in planning for that, because that's about how long it takes to produce these skills. There's a lot of other changes, I think, as well. You know, we have a lot of more key stakeholders that we have to take into account, such as communities and, you know, green lobby groups, etc., that didn't really play a role in the human resources that I did 10 years ago. So it's more around, I think, paying attention to the needs of the staff and, you know, what will retain them, but also looking more at the effectiveness of our people, the management processes that we need to build capabilities and how to retain the key skills, and then really engaging our employees and the local communities a lot more.
Apart from the difficulties associated with what you've just described, I would have thought that as EVP Human Resources at a major gold mining company, those changes have yielded almost more reward for you in your position.
Oh, yes, I think that this is a much more challenging and at the same time more rewarding role than it was 10 or 15 years ago, without a doubt.
Localization, you've sort of touched on this issue, but it's an issue for several companies operating in emerging markets. It's essentially the practice of using more nationals from the host countries across every level of their business. How important is this particular phenomenon for AngloGold Ashanti?
It's very important. You know, in South Africa, we have the mining charter with all the transformation requirements, but it's not a purely South African issue. In Ghana, we have legislation that requires us to reduce the number of expats to below 5%. We have targets, for example, in Australia to improve the ratio of women in the workplace. We have agreements in some of our South American operations in Brazil and Argentina where we will, you know, recruit a certain number of disabled people, or that we have targets around recruiting a certain percentage of the total workforce out of local communities. So while there are different challenges in different geographies, the issue of localization is there for virtually every geography in which we're operating. I think the other interesting phenomenon in this space is the fact that we are finding that we no sooner train a local up to take over potentially from an expat, for example, in Ghana, then that local will himself resign to take an expat contract to go expatting in, you know, Malawi or Nigeria or somewhere else. So the mobility of the workforce is placing additional challenges in the space of localization and developing local people.
Very interesting, isn't it? The transient nature of human resources. You've briefly touched on System for People. How important is SP in assuring that the BPF component of Project One realizes the efficiency and productivity targets that the company itself has set?
Well, the business process framework is all about, you know, process re-engineering and redesigning processes to make people more effective. And I think making people more effective will give them greater job satisfaction and make us more productive. But key to all of this is having the right people in the right roles at the right time. That's key to sustaining the results of the business process re-engineering, because you can re-engineer your processes, but if you don't have the right people in the right roles, it won't be sustainable long term.
Italia, fascinating stuff. Thanks so much for your time. That's Italia Boninelli, who is EVP Human Resources at your company, AngloGold Ashanti.